Alright, we're recording.
So should we turn the music off? Is this...
No, it's not that formal. If I can even hear it, barely hear it. It's just to refresh my memory
when I sit
down to type. It won't be very text heavy. It'll just be like
a little exposé. So you're not putting the recording up?
Okay. No, I wasn't planning on it.
Okay.
That's like someone actually going to sit there and listen to me talk now. Maybe you guys, not me. So why Ossining? Why here?
Well, because we live here. So it's important for us to do something in our downtown because everybody, when they go to do something, they leave our community to do it.
Yeah, so, you're even driving like 15, 20 minutes south, or you're going 15, 20 minutes north, and there kind of was nothing in this in-between area.
And you guys are both born and raised here?
No, we moved here about a year apart. Our wives grew up together.
Okay.
So we met when Matt and Lisa moved to Ossining, and Lisa and Victoria reconnected, and that's when Matt and I met.
But those guys grew up, like, you know, what, 20 minutes south in Tarrytown?
Yes.
Okay. Where'd you guys grow up?
In Tarrytown and North Tarrytown. We moved around, you know, Albany, southeastern Connecticut, you know.
And I grew up all over northern New Jersey, and then went to high school in Port Jervis, New York.
Okay. So neither of you had a town that you yourselves considered, like, your home base. And so your wives connected you here in Ossining.
Yeah.
And now this is your home base forevermore.
And my wife is the mayor of Ossining.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. That's very cool. You know Wolf Hollow in Schenectady, those guys? They were at the conference. In any case, it's co-owners.
Okay.
One is the high school principal, and the other one is the pastor. Like, I just think that is so awesome.
That's cool.
My dad was a United Methodist minister. That's why we moved so much.
Oh, I see. Okay. And what were you doing before the brewery?
Well, I'm a rigging grip in film and television.
Okay.
So I still do that.
And I worked retail. I worked for Wegmans Food Market, Stu Leonard's, and then most recently Whole Foods Market.
Mm-hmm.
And and I was a home brewer at the time because that kept me sane for my day-to-day, like, job,
right,
kind of thing.
How did that happen? Like, that conversation of, so you met through your wives, right? And like, how quickly and what was the process of that conversation of, like, dude, we should open a business together? Because you didn't know each other that well, right?
No. And so Matt was a home brewer, and
right,
he was always feeding me his latest creation. And, you know, reading about, you know, the boom of the, you know, craft beer industry. And so, and then, you know, so I kind of had the idea in the back of my mind. And then when the New York Farm Brewery legislation came to be, I was involved in the anti-fracking movement, and to me that was like everything just lined up. It's like, we, you know, I was kind of thinking about doing this. Now they've created a whole entire license that's going to increase the value of farmland and, you know, source things. Logo. It's just like, it's like, you know what? Now's the time. Let's jump in. And that was in 2014, right?
Right.
And we, for the end of 2013, actually, and at that point, there were only 14 New York farm breweries, and we contacted, it was at a wedding, we were at a wedding, right, that you brewed the beer for.
The thing was, I wasn't, like, Winnie's home brewers that, like, oppressed all his friends with his latest soy sauce beer. You know, I brewed these beers, for myself, because, like I said, it kept me sane. But I like that idea of, like, one person working on something and perfecting it just because that's what you do,
mm-hmm,
you know? I brewed a beer, or I did a couple of beers for one of Victoria's early campaigns.
Right.
That was
right,
probably the first event that I did.
Yeah.
And then I brewed another for one of my I was in a number of bands when I was in Syracuse, and my bass player was getting married, and it was kind of like, I didn't want to, it's not an off-the-shelf kind of purchase for somebody like that, you know. So I brewed a beer for them just for the wedding gift, and I gave them like four or five six bombers. But then that beer, a friend tasted and wanted me to brew a beer for his wedding and for the reception. And for the rehearsal dinner. And, you know, it's a beautiful location off the coast of Portland, Maine, an island, and on Peaks Island. It was beautiful. And, you know, what was it, mid-June, July, something like that.
I think it was the end of the summer.
And it was like, man, you know, perfect location. And I brewed a honey hibiscus whip for that. And what was supposed to be one of, like, five beers became the only beer because they realized the logistics of getting, you know, beer onto the island was a little more beyond, was beyond what they were ready to do. And so we had, I had the only beer available, and everybody, like, flipped out about it. They loved it.
Yeah, so for you, it was almost like a, it was an outlet, a personal creative outlet.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
then, and then there was demand.
Right.
And for you, it was like the legislation and the industry kind of got to a point where you wanted to get. That's really interesting.
And it was, and it was also an extension of, like, you know, the way that we were kind of living our lives anyway. Like, it was a really good fit for our personal core values as well.
So it's at that wedding where we decided, you know what, let's do it. Let's come up with a business plan. We contacted the 14 farm breweries. 7 responded. We did a tour of New York, visited 7 of those breweries, talked to the owners and the brewers, you know, what you guys do right, what would you change, you know, this is our plan, what do you think? And it was just an incredible, you know, we were received, you know, such a warm welcome, you know, everyone was, you know, so accommodating, and it was just like, this is the kind of industry that we definitely want to be a part of. And we realized we were, you know, we tweaked some things, but we realized we were, you know, on the right path. And then, you know, started raising the money and going through the process. And that took another 2.5 years,
mm-hmm.
due to the fact that we were raising money as we went. I was building the space myself, nights and weekends. The licensing, you know, from the federal licensing, mm-hmm. took 10 months to get. You know, like, there was a lot of, you know, kind of, it was an arduous process. And now, you know, it was amazing to finally open the doors on Memorial Day weekend of 2018, and after working in this space for like 2.5 years, like, it's like, wow, there's people
in our clubhouse. It's awesome. Yeah,
and they came here on their own volition.
Right. Yeah, yeah, for real.
Wow, that's,
I mean,
awesome.
I still get blown away when you're like, you walk through space, because, you know, making that jump from a home brewer to a commercial brewer, seeing people like drinking and enjoying my beer, our beer, you know, it's one of those things that never gets old, you
right.
know, and it's like, whoa, you know, kind of humbling experience when you have a, you know, tap room full of people enjoying your beverages, and you're like, yeah, all right, cool. And then to tell them, you know, more about it, the in-depth, like, the New York State, you know, farm brewery aspect of it, because, like, I don't know that that's really in the public consciousness yet, and telling that story is super important to us, you know, like, being like, hey, yeah, by the way, that's why, like, you know, we have all our grains right here within the tap room, so you kind of can see what we got going on, and it's like, oh yeah, all that's from New York, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That is something you share with Jason.
Oh, yeah, Strong Rope.
Thank you.
Yeah.
In Brooklyn, like, to me, to have a farm brewery in an urban environment is so indicative of an inherent passion, mm-hmm. for the industry and New York, and it makes sense when you think of, like, farmland, right? If you're out in Casanova, you think of farm brewing, maybe.
Right.
But not in Ossining, not in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, so it takes an extra level of commitment, I think, in that point.
And that was a big focus on that trip. You know, it was like, you know, February, we're riding through central and northern New York, and, you know, we got caught. Although we did have more snow down here than they
that's
had
true,
in Rochester. And I was like, well,
that's
what?
Rare.
But that spirit of collaboration where, like, you know, at first, you know, the brewers are like, just kind of want to figure out, like, if we're for real.
Yeah.
But then, inevitably, by the end of the conversation, it's like, all right, here's the card, call me if you need anything, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The complete opposite of my experience in the grocery world, because that's dog eat dog.
Yeah.
You know, you don't let people take pictures, you don't share information with anybody. And it was kind of, it was a culture shock for me to get used to, like, how welcoming and genuinely helpful, like, brewers were. I kept waiting for, like, you know, to get hit. You know, I was like, what's, you sure? Like, you know, but everybody, like, to a fault, had been, like, so super helpful.
Yeah.
And it makes sense, too, because, like, you know, if our beer is terrible and you've never tried craft beer, and this is your first experience with it, you're not going to go to the next brewery. You know, so that, you know, having beer quality, you know, being the priority for everybody who's in the industry is really super important. And, like, you don't get there
because you're all in it fighting against.
Exactly.
You know, the macros, right?
Yep.
You're all in that same, you're all on the same team ultimately.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, you compete with each other, but you you lift each other up because people are going to visit multiple in one day.
Sure. Yeah, we see it all the time. We, you know, on the weekends, we're close enough that we'll usually, people coming to us have been to like two other breweries previous,
yeah,
and are going to at least one or two more, because
yeah,
the Hudson Valley is just blowing up right now. So
I know it is.
It's crazy.
It's a tough industry for, like, from a lifestyle perspective, from a wellness perspective, from a financial perspective, from a time commitment perspective.
Oh, yeah.
It's a hard industry. The only way in which it's easy, and I'll speak very personally for me, is being a woman in this space is the only industry I've ever worked in where I have felt that camaraderie and I have felt accepted based on my merit, gender, anything. But it's a tough industry in all these other regards. So, like, how does that work out for your families and your own health? And, you know what I mean? Like, this is... It's not for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I joke around about it a lot. Like, I thought I knew what long hours were in the grocery industry as a store team leader for Whole Foods Market. But, you know, we're just always here. But the thing is like, this is not a job. This isn't it. You know, like, you're this is an extension of who I am as a person.
Right.
So, you know, we both live locally. Our houses are a 30-minute walk at most, from the brewery, and, you know, our families are an integral part of the taproom experience and the brewery experience. You know, both our, you know, all our sons are always running around in the parking lot playing whatever.
Do you guys both
sport.
Have kids?
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
So that's awesome. You know.
Yeah.
Family dinners in the taproom.
Yeah.
Birthdays.
Yeah. Every celebration happens.
That's been throughout history here since fifth birthday at the but that's been throughout history, right? Is that you know, the Constitution was written at an alehouse, and this is why this industry is so important, because this is the meeting place, this is a community hub.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I always say, when people say, why did you get into craft beer? Oh, you just like to drink beer. I mean, yes, I do like beer, but to me, craft beer is a conduit for a conversation, and conversations lead to community. And we could all use a little more community.
And the perfect example is, like, you know, you notice that there's no screens in our tap room, and that was an important part of us deciding, like, what we liked from a beer drinking perspective.
Was that like a discussion,
you're totally on the same page with it, you know?
Because, you know, you realize that, you know, if you think about where are your favorite places to be, where do you enjoy and feel the most comfortable. And when we answer that question, as well as when I propose that to anybody else, they always pick places that don't have screens. And so, and not consciously, they just, like, you know, it's something about, you know, being at a place where people just start interacting and communicating with one another. And this place, like, people meet and converse, and everybody's kind of like, really, it's a warm, friendly, family, you know, mentality here. And you know, when there's screens up, everyone just is in their own zone. And
oh,
just
I agree. I talk about how coffee is the antithesis of craft beer. You go into any coffee house anywhere in the country, people have their earbuds in. They're usually looking down at a laptop or a phone. Like, no one wants to even interact with anyone at all, or even see that anyone else is in there. It's like, why even go out of your own living room when all you're doing is looking down and putting, you know, you're purposely tuning people out. It's the exact opposite. You never see anyone in a bar with earbuds in, right? And I applaud the non-screen thing. We only have one screen in our whole house. It's in the basement. And any time I walk into a bar where there's a screen, I'm just like...
Let me watch this truck commercial.
Like, my heart breaks a little bit. Right. Yeah, it's like, I just don't...
It sucks all the energy out of the room.
I don't get why you would do it in a craft bar,
even for me, it's just like, you know, if you... The screens that just list the beers, it's like, you wind up, like...
Yeah.
You know, that,
mesmerized
that,
by it.
That electric... You know, the electronic image is like, it sucks you in no matter what it is.
Yeah.
And it's like...
We're Luddites.
Yeah.
No, I am too in a way. I am, and believe it, my husband is almost in a way too, and he's a software engineer. You know, like we're pretty low tech in our lives. And again, it goes back to that sense of community that you get in craft beer. You know, it's like there's a lot of software companies coming up wanting to be allied members, and I'm like, that's great. You know, I think there's a real market for you. But I also remind him, like, this is not the most tech savvy or like tech interested group of people. The people who typically start breweries. So, well, awesome. I'm so happy to say that I've been here now.
You got to check in on the app.
Oh yeah, I never do that. I've used it like once. I'm not big into that. But I am going to take a picture for 1886 because they're the sponsor of our competition. You know.
Oh right, yeah.
And the other day I was at Rare Form. And Kevin, you know Kevin from Rare, he's got a Deutsch shirt on, who's a exhibitor this year at our conference, like right across his chest, right in front of his door, Rare Form, Deutsch, and I took a picture, sent it to him. I was like, I know you guys would get a kick out of it. You know, little things like that right. I do to our allied members that kind of keep us connected and keep them, you know, in the spirit, again, right. of why we're doing this, so, sure. Yeah. Awesome.
And that is true. Like, you know, for as far as the sponsors go, like whenever we're looking for a vendor for whatever, you know, it's really helpful for us to look, okay, now who's an allied member, you know, and we might not always go with them,
right.
but we'll definitely give them a shot.
It's a place
just
to
because,
start.
You
yeah.
know?
I've heard that from about 80% of our members.
Yeah.
But like, that's important. That's really the key, right? I mean, we have 112 allied members this year. So far this year, we'll end up over 120 for sure. Last year, we ended at 93. The year before that, 72. The year before that, 52. Like, it's growing quickly. And that money, you know, turns right back to you guys to keep the fee low for the conference and keep your fees low. And, you know, we'd like to get to the point where the conference is completely free for brewers.
Oh, wow. That'd be great.
Yeah. It'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. But that's, you know, that's predicated on the sponsors.
Right.
So, yeah.
Sure.
Fantastic. I love it. Thanks again for putting the Think New York, Duke New York on your glassware and on your menu.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
It's really, really great. It's amazing how few breweries are doing it. Like, just the other day, I went to go buy beer. I had to actually go buy it.
What's that like?
And I'm standing there in this huge aisle, and I'm like turning around every can to see where they're made, because I don't remember all 447 off the top of my head. And I'm just like, this sucks. Like, why aren't people using the Think New York, Drink New York? Because then it'd be so easy for me and every other consumer.
Yeah, yeah.
To recognize it, you know?
And that was one of the redesigns on our, because when we had initially done our first run of Crowlers, it was just a hashtag,
mm-hmm.
but now having the logo.
Because you guys didn't have
that was part of
the mark,
redesign
yeah.
of our second runnings of the
Yeah, I think your
Crowlers.
Designer just emailed me the other day, right?
Yeah.
Which the timing was like, oh my God, I'm going to be there on Friday.
Sure.
So, yeah, that and think about it. I mean, with 447, if even half, even 25%, put that on their can the way you have the independent mark,
it
would go so far. We really have to, my job, really keep trying to push consumer consciousness, because it's not quite there yet. You know, that love of New York. The New York beer drinkers don't think of New York, they think of Vermont.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you're killing me.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll get there.
And that's part of the story that we tell here, you know, with the farm brewery license, is it like, you know, this is what New York beer tastes like. You can, like, the malt quality is incredible.
Yeah,
like,
great.
You can really taste the malt because it's so fresh and local. Like, it's not, I don't know how, it's just an intensity of flavor that doesn't
exist.
Because,
you can see that in the beers that have been popular in our tap room. So one of our most popular beers is a single malt, single hop that's just made with two-row barley and Cascades. Like, it kind of doesn't get any more New York than that, you know, and there's no place to hide. It's not like I hop the crap out of some poor brewing techniques, you know. It's just like all you taste are those two ingredients. And
do you have that on tap right
awesome.
Now?
Yeah.
We're blown out of this.
I was going to say, hit me with it.
Oh, we do. We have the last six.
My personal tap. No one knows.
Just a tiniest little bit.
Because that was one of those ones that, as a brewer, I was like, you know, when in pre-opening, we needed volume. You know, so I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. And it took off immediately.
Thank you.
And I think it's because of that.